Imperial Media presents The Brooke Taylor Show. Encounter, adventure, evangelize. And now your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Brooke Taylor Show. This is a bonus episode, as promised, to get you motivated to start the new year.
I'm Hans.
And I'm Franz.
And we want to pump you up.
Okay, so it's not Hans and Franz, unfortunately, but it is Brooke and Jim, my husband, actually joining me on the show for the first time in 2 or 3 years, because I think the last time that you were on the show was when we were getting ready for a pilgrimage to southern Italy, and we were talking about the beautiful adventure of traveling to Italy and going to these destinations, and that was back, I think, in 2018. So it's exciting, and the funny thing is that, the ironic thing, we had a hard time figuring out the schedule for this interview, even though we live in the same house and we're together. So we're finally able to do this. I'm really glad that it could work out. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So here's the context. In the last episode of the year, I mentioned this idea of bringing Jim on because he has lost close to 50 pounds over the last year while living with a lot of pain, which I know he's going to talk about, working full time, juggling a house full of kids, paying the bills, the stress to go with it. And the other cool thing, at the same time that he's lost these 50 pounds over this year, he's also had a commitment to the Liturgy of the Hours, or Divine Office. It means the same thing. Praying the canonical hours, the prayer of the church. And that's been a new devotion, really deeply impacting not only Jim, but our family. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. For me, having been a witness to these changes, I'm pretty impressed, because you can't go through something like that and not inspire others around you. It's just the byproduct of transformation. When someone's fully alive, which is what we talk about on the show a lot, it impacts others. When you are on fire for Christ, that zeal is magnetic. When you are a person who is in the zone and you are dialed in and you're eating healthy and you have people in your own home that are looking up to you, by osmosis, it just is catching. It's contagious. And it's a pretty cool thing to see. And so with the new year upon us, let's jump on in. Okay, so let's back up to, we'll say, early March of 2020. Jim, you're working from home. You're heavier than you've been in a really long time, maybe ever. Maybe some self-loathing going on. You had constant aches and pains, tremendous stress. And then the pandemic hits, and now you're stuck. And this is a serious rut. And what's interesting is around the same time, I was doing these happy hours on Friday, Facebook Live. And for a few weeks, the topic was being stuck in a rut. Meanwhile, this was playing out where you were at a turning point. What was it? What was your pivot point where you were like, okay, I'm done and I'm going to make a change?
I don't think it was one specific thing that I could point out as anything else in life to get done. There was a couple things I heard for our boys. Are you interested or are you committed? There's a lot of interest in things you want to do. If you think about all the things where I stand and how I stand firmly on my 2 feet, that being a husband, being a father, provider, internally, I'm struggling because I'm letting myself down, because my whole mission that God tasked me with is to be that. And I'm like, well, I'm letting God down, so why are you doing this? You know, the sins, gluttony, sloth, and pride. And, you know, a couple other things, which is funny. We were watching This Is Us, and Toby said to his wife, he's like, well, I want to be here. I want to do everything within my control to ensure that I'm here for you and for my family. It was like another nail driven in to confirm that either I could sit here with great interest, or I can create an action and commit myself to doing exactly that, controlling everything within my control to allow me to become capable of carrying on in life, protecting and providing, instead of sitting around self-pity, consuming way more than I ever should have, being a man of inaction when I promise I want to have action.
The other aspect is you legitimately have a lot of pain. You have a lot of stress. You have a lot on your plate. And I think for all of us, there are legitimate things that validate why not today. I don't feel good today. I'm tired today. I have too much going on today. Again, like, months go by and then years go by. So it sounds like this was building, because we know that it has to happen first in the mind. And the other aspect that I'll just add is that I'm just being very transparent, that it does impact the marriage relationship. And there's a deep-seated insecurity that comes when you know that you're not at your best. And that was kind of the unspoken thing here. The thing about you is you are the most capable person that I know. And in some ways, that's your identity. So you said it, it's fix, provide, protect, repeat. Fix, provide, protect. But when there's a breakdown in your physical strength, of course, it impacts the mental psychology. And so I noticed that you were even more so like defensive about things, offended quickly, all of these things more so than usual. And that's a tough spot for a spouse, because do you say something like this? I know that you're not healthy. I'm praying that there will be a paradigm shift. If I don't say anything, I feel like that's not loving you well, because there needs to be a change. So you are around, so you are healthy. And if I do say something, I might as well just throw a grenade and stand there, because I know that I'm walking into an explosion. And that was our experience. And the other aspect, again, because what you said reminded me of this, part of the tools that we have used in parenting our children is the power of story. Every famous saint to obscure person imaginable, and telling them stories about gallant, virtuous heroes, from the chivalric knights to people like Audie Murphy, Louis Zamperini, John Wesley Powell, Ben Carson, Goggins. I mean, we off the top of our head could just like fire back and forth people that we have told our sons about and read to our daughter. I mean, countless, and of course the saints. And so I think one of the key breakthroughs too is you wanted to be that man for your sons. You wanted to be that hero where, yes, everybody knows that you are balancing a lot and you have a heavy load on your shoulders, but to have them see you rise above and to take care of yourself and get healthy and be that man of action.
Let's see if I can touch on some of these points, because the first and foremost, my story is going to be different than everybody else's story. You were just mentioning about pain. Well, when I was in the Army, my parachute didn't function properly, so I fell quite a few hundred feet to my death, to be honest with you. But by the grace of God, he kept me around. That was a long time ago. With that, there's been a continual struggle and battle, and it just gets compounded when I sit around and I gain weight. And I'm not a type of person who can just diet. I have to exercise and diet. Well, then the excuses come. I'm pretty headstrong, and I have a lot of tenacity, and I have a lot of persistence. But I can also be headstrong and persistent in being a sloth and being inactive, and it a wall that can be built. You know, so just like anybody else, you have to tackle the obstacle in front of you. And the obstacle in front of me was, woe is me. And I always say this in my prayers, and I'm grateful and I thank God for giving you to me, because you know exactly how to kick me in my fourth point of contact and get me moving. It takes some time. It took you 7 years to get me in the RCIA program, but I got there. You've been praying for 20 years that I become more involved in my faith. Well, when people are having to endure this pandemic, they can do one of two things. And I go back. You can be interested in doing something for yourself, or you can commit yourself to doing something. So I don't like to do things. When somebody always told me, if you're going to do something, do it big. I like doing big. So, and I know where my thresholds are at. You had mentioned stories of people, heroes, the patriots, the forefathers, the church fathers, the desert fathers, and this world, and particularly this country, has been so full and ripe with so many powerful and inspirational people. And a lot of them come with a lot of baggage. It's just mindset.
That's the mental game, right? So that's the biggest thing that you had, is getting that mental, because you, any journey, it's going to start mentally first, a health journey like this.
It has to be mental first, because if you can't, your body is, and you, everybody's probably heard this, your body is capable of enduring almost anything you can put it through, and then some. You know, and the military mindset also elevates that, because it keeps you honest, and it helps you achieve things that you feel that you impose your own limits on. These pursuits that we're doing, you know, I picked up the really incredibly difficult task of praying the Liturgy of the Hours now. I'm going to be honest with you, it's a challenge, but it's something that has to be done, because it's the prayer of the church.
Why did you say it was difficult?
Because I gave myself a limitation, and it's really not. It's all about timing and planning. It's all it comes down to. you know, thanks for calling me out on that.
Well, I didn't mean to. I was just curious because for those that don't know, you know, you have an app. There's the iBreviary app, and there's different ways that you can pray the Liturgy of the Hours. But to truly use the Missal, it's actually pretty complicated. So when I asked you that, that's because I know for a while, it's like, I don't know where these ribbons go and how do I do this? And then it depends on what cycle you were in or in a lot of moving parts more so than what I think people realize.
Yeah, it's like anything. Johnny Kim, who is a very inspirational man, will tell you, and just anybody else who's achieved great things in life, if you want to learn something and do something, you have to go to those that know how to do it. And then once you get to the level of knowing how to do it, you can either become comfortable in that norm of saying, oh, I know how to do it, or you can say, this is great, but I can do more. You can go forward knowing that it is okay to fail no matter what it is you do, but it's never okay to quit. There are so many ways and means and opportunities to achieve things. And if we just go for one effort and we fail and we just walk away from it and throw it up, then we don't know what we've given up. So that's a big thing for me. And ultimately, the recipe for this is mindset.
Well, to that point, and you mentioned Johnny Kim. In fact, that was one of the stories when we talk about inspirational people that we just shared with our sons, and you recently listened to the podcast, because I sent it to you, the Jocko podcast with Johnny Kim. And for those that don't know, he has an astonishing story. He was a Navy SEAL, a Harvard doctor, and an astronaut. I shouldn't say was. He's still very active and doing amazing things. But the thing is he didn't have this pedigree of elite wealth and upbringing. It's an incredibly powerful story that he shares. And I want to point you to this podcast. So I will link it up in the show notes. But I also, for now, want to share just a clip, because he's talking about sometimes we just have to speak less and do more, being people of action. And everything that we talk about today is all going to go back to the center point of the gospel, because Jesus, the salvific act of dying on the cross, that was the action that brought about our redemption. And so again, you know, our kids hear some of what we say, some, but they see everything we do. So here's a clip where he's talking about, in his own experience, the power of being a good leader. Take a listen.
Being a good leader is being a good follower first. And we talked about having that emotional, human, social intelligence of what to do and when to do it and how you do it. And that's so important, how you craft that language and that tone of voice. I mean, I think there is no template to leadership, and people need to find their own way of executing that. For me, I listen. I sit back, and I'm a big believer in quality over quantity of what you say. In my experience, the less you say, but the more thoughtful it is, the more people listen. The more you speak, and oftentimes when you speak a lot, it's less thoughtful, the less people listen.
Yeah.
And I try and exercise that in everything I do, especially at NASA. And learning to, it's very applicable in a SEAL platoon, learning to gain currency. When I mean my currency, you can call it reputation, whatever you want.
Leadership capital.
Capital. Gaining this capital, this currency, by at least what I've seen to be effective for others and myself is shutting up and doing a good job and not complaining, but speaking up when it is appropriate, respectfully and thoughtfully, you gain that currency so that hopefully one day when you do need to bark orders because of time sensitivity or just the situation calls for it, you can cash in that currency. You've gained enough, and that the people around you, your teammates, will be like, Roger that, I'm gonna follow, because you have gained my trust. So there's a time for everything. And at least for me, I found that barking orders to, especially to people you don't know, is probably very poor form.
It doesn't work very well. And the quote I have in that book over and over again is, the less you talk, the more people listen.
In my experience, I found that to be true.
So yeah, I mean, the whole show is like 4 hours long, so it's super lengthy, and I didn't hear all of it. Jim, I know you guys did, but you talk a lot about what it means to be a godly man, a family man, a protector. But in this case, for these months, this year, you had to just go silent for a while and do some work, get it done, and that's what you've done. So I want to break down the details. This is where we'll get into the information, because a lot of people ask, how did you do it? What's your secret? And there's so many things out there all the time. There's the South Beach diet and the keto and everything else. And because you've been down this path before, your weight has been a battle for as long as I've known you. And never is it something like exotic or a quick fix. It's the true like Rocky Balboa old school grit. And I know you've added some new things this time, like intermittent fasting. So talk about that into the details, what you've done.
Like you, I read a lot. I learn a lot. So I can lean back on a lot of things in my life I can lean back on and pull forward some bit of information that I know that I can rely on, because I know it's fact, it's truth, and I can confirm it. I put together Jim's own method. And for me, what works is not going to work for the next person. But it can be a part where they can start thinking of something. Oh, okay, well, maybe let me try this. Now, mind you, I feel bad because this battle back and forth with my weight has also been self-inflicted, honestly. It's hard for me to reconcile that with myself. Where have I, in the years building up to this, been a negative influence to my family, to those that know me? That one beats me down a lot.
But also, hindsight is also 2020.
Right.
I didn't really want to use 2020, but here we go. Because you grew up in the South, a lot of fried foods. It's very much, for anyone who's lived in that part of the country, a repeatable story that is replayed and lived out generation after generation, where you had just a lot of high carb, high calorie, fatty foods, and they're delicious, but it wasn't a lot of like salads and carrot sticks and fruits and things like that, and a lot of activity. It was hot down there.
What you're saying there, you're very careful treading on the South.
I'm not. Okay, see, everything is so personal. But for you, I get all that, but what is Jim's plan? So just give us a little bit.
Yeah. So in a perfect world, and I've tried to make this as perfect as possible since April, because I've been home working remotely since February, because you went to Israel and, you know, right when all this started happening, and then they started locking everybody down. So I had already been home a month longer than the rest of the country had been home at that point, working and taking care of all the responsibilities around here, back and forth here. So basically, I don't eat after 6 p.m. I try not to eat anything after 6 p.m., preferably after 5:30 p.m., and I try not to eat anything before 10 a.m., I've been kind of settling in about the 9:30 mark. And the 9:30 mark is that I eat very specific food. Typically, it's 3 to 4 eggs, 3 to 4 pieces of bacon, and then sometimes I'll throw in a couple pieces of toast. Other than that, it's just the bacon and the eggs.
Coffee.
And coffee, of course. And lots of water. Water, water, and more water. It's your best friend. It helps you with every aspect of everything. I don't eat anything at lunch. And then we go and whatever for dinner. And I try just eat the one plate of dinner now. And we know this from before. And we know this because we can pull out, you know, the recesses, that your body doesn't actually need that much food to survive. Your body is very resilient and capable. It's your mind that screws everything up.
And it's our habits. And I know you've done this enough times where in the beginning, when it was hard and you were really, really hungry, you knew that you just had to overcome mentally, right? And then all of a sudden your body catches up.
Yeah. You know, to me, when I started this and I finally said, I'm committed, I go, it's going to be 3 weeks before I'm okay with this process. And it was almost to the day, 3 weeks later. And then it just becomes natural, habitual, because that's what life is made out of, is habits. Then I had to incorporate exercising. So I did not try to do both at the same time when I first started, because I knew it would be too much. I've been down this road before, and I had said, this is not going to be a overnight quick fix. This is going to be a complete and utter life change. And in order to do this, I have to do it slow, systematic, and I did it. I laid it out, and I said to myself, once we get to week 5, you're going to start running 1 mile, 2 miles. Now, mind you, I used to be able to run pretty dang good back in my Army days. You know, I always hold back on that. And that was the other thing that bothered me. People, I'd be like, yeah, I used to run this in a per minute mile. And I'm telling people and they're looking at me, I can just tell they want to say, no, really? You? You know, so that's, you know, things like that that would bother me. And it was just another motivating factor to move forward with this commitment. So then I started incorporating. Well, now we're up to training for ultra marathons. So
you said at first you knew you couldn't do both. And so you start the diet, you make those changes, and then you slowly begin to incorporate running. And you have knee issues. So how is that? Because you're dealing with the pain. So for those that are in that kind of couch to 5K mode, what was it that kept you going? We know the mental. You had to turn that governor off and just override it and keep going. But did you have a plan for yourself, or was it just, okay, 4 days a week or at lunchtime?
Yeah, the thing that always comes to my head, my drill sergeant used to always say, pain is only weakness leaving the body. Pain is only temporary, lets you know you're still alive. And then there's the rational medical doctor says, no, pain is actually a significant thing. And then it's like, well, you need to balance them out. You're capable, your mind's capable of figuring out the difference between the two. Now, I have injuries, but I also know that I'm capable. And I know where my thresholds are at, and I know that I can push past a lot of pain, and I know I can push past a lot of stuff. So I just said, turn it off, push past it, move forward, because today's another day. That's the mental toughness aspect that you have to be in my opinion. If you're not, then you're just going to give up. You're going to relent. It's the earliest sign of resistance that your body's going to, that your mind gives you.
There was a point where you hit a plateau. And it was really frustrating because you were doing everything you could and the weight just wasn't coming off. And you know, I mean, we've watched The Biggest Loser back in the day, and I don't want to recommend that because I know looking back now, they say they lost the weight too fast. It's not always healthy. But the point being that no matter where you are, this happens. So for you, was it just, okay, I just have to be consistent, be patient, because you did get past that.
But I made it a point to say to myself that no less than 4 days a week I'm going to run, preferably 6 or 7 days a week I'm going to run. I'm not like, you know, the runners that are those long commitments every day, because that's just not the reality of our life. So that's what it was. Basically, I said four. And the point I get to with the weight, where I'm still there. I'm still at that balancing point because I need to increase my level of exertion. And life just isn't permitting that right now. But we are trying to make adjustments and accommodations just because we're all getting into this same mindset in this family. It's, you know, action is inspirational. So I think that's where it's at.
Okay, I want to get into the Liturgy of the Hours, but so thank you for sharing all of that, because I'm just sitting here with a big smile on my face because I'm proud of you. I know our boys have been inspired by you. Even today, what we see, the seeds being planted, may come to fruition years from now, decades from now, in our own sons' lives. And that's what's so exciting about it too. But before we move on to the Liturgy of the Hours, what have been some of your favorite things from losing this weight? I mean, I know the pain that you have when you first started running is a lot less on your knees because you're carrying less weight. Obviously, it feels good to fit into things that you haven't been able to wear in a long time. That's always like the coolest part. But anything else?
You've given my confidence back. And, you know, you call me out on the confidence thing, which I think is an appropriate thing to say and do, because it's true. My mind going, did she really just test my manhood? But it was true after I reconciled that too as well. It's like, yeah, you know, God gave me my coach, my inspiration right here in the same house that I've been with for 21 years. I'm literally, 14 pounds from my best fit shape I've been in when I was hustling in the Army. So that's been exciting to see the transition happen. You know, obviously the weight off of my knees is very helpful. Weight off my back has been helpful.
And I'll just add too, I can see it in the way you live, because before I could tell that you were unhappy. And when someone is kind of in the zone, you can see it and you feel it, you know it. And I, you know, this is why it's been inspirational for me too, because I haven't been able to get there just as much. And I find that too in marriages. Sometimes it's like this teeter totter where balance each other. When the other's down, the other picks you up and vice versa. But it's been really neat to see. And you had a couple emotional runs, if I might say. I think they were moments of clarity for you where you realized how blessed you were. And I mean, because it takes a long time. We're carrying so much. You, men, you have so much on your shoulders that you really don't have time. You love the woods, and that's where you have the time of meditation and reflection. But these runs have really been that for you, and it's been medicine. So I think that's the other element too, just to be able to witness that you are really living, you're alive, you are making the most of your days, and life isn't always going to be perfect. And every day and every week we're being thrown something that we're like, okay, here's a new challenge that we all of a sudden have to figure out. But you're more able and ready to meet those challenges, unlike anything I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because these long runs that you get a chance to, well, A, for me, it's refreshing because I'm out in the middle of the woods by myself, which is obviously, as we said, my happy place. But it's also a place for where you can say multiple rosaries. You can have some really deep conversations with God. And with that, he talks back to you and lets you know certain things you've been questioning or wondering about. He just puts in perspective for you, or he doesn't answer you. And it makes you really reflect deeply and inwardly, and you decide you've got to make changes. You're happy with this aspect, you're not, you know. So to me, it's been a connection with Christ, which has been very beneficial to me. And in return, I think is what has turned me more towards the divine office, because I need to give back at the same token that I'm being afforded these opportunities to change the way I interact on a daily basis with my family. Now, everything is not all hunky-dory. You know, there's things, you know, life is life. But dramatic shifts in the way and how you interact and deal with things is good. It's like listening to that, and we'll go back to that podcast, because it's recent, it's refreshing, because it takes into account everything that me as a man stands here to do, and that is to be a protector, a father, a husband, a patriot, a servant, have courage, have integrity, have honesty, develop leadership. You know, those things that are those traits and characteristics that are the most important things for me are exemplified in everything that I've done in these changes that I've made. And I know it and I feel it. I'm not looking for return or anybody's feedback. I can be comfortable in the fact that I know and I see these things in myself, which is going to in turn help in every aspect.
I guess just one last note, because you're helping me see too, in this ministry, in this podcast, largely the demographic is women. Now, we have a lot of men that also listen to the show as well, but what I have found in my own journey and also in ministering and walking alongside women is so often women, we forget ourselves, we dissolve into our family by serving them. And somewhere along the line, we lose ourselves and we look in the mirror and we don't recognize that person and the weight that's been gained or the years that have taken a toll. And we can sometimes falsely believe that is us loving our family. But Dr. Ann, she did a wonderful Facebook Live on our Arise page, and she talked about in scripture that we are told to love our neighbor as ourselves. But if we don't take care of ourselves, we're not loving ourselves, we're not taking care of our neighbor or anybody else. And I think men can do this too. You as protector and provider, you were letting yourself go. We recently saw a picture that was taken just over a year ago from a Christmas party, and you could not believe that that was you. So I think those moments crystallize of actually the best way that I can care for and provide and serve and protect my family is by showing them that I am worthy and I have a dignity that is worth strength and endurance and all the things that you have been able to do to get back to this capable status that you finally have reclaimed.
Yeah, I find it contradictory to say, I can do this, I can do that. And if something happens, I'll just get in the way, I'll defend my family. I'll invoke my skill set. No, you're not. Because you've conditioned yourself to another format. And, you know, I've been a fighter. I've been a protector. I've been a defensive person. I am a frontline guy. When I'm going to say I'm going to do this and that, and I realize I can't even fight myself out of a wet paper bag, what good am I to anybody? So button up and do something about it. Go black and do stuff you need to do. And that's where good. I operate, you know, you always ask to how I fall asleep. How I fall asleep at night. And I always say to you, I just make my mind go black. It's gone. 30 seconds later, I'm snoring. You know it. You just can't figure it out.
And it's really annoying because I'm up till 3 a.m. worrying about things and tossing and turning. And but it works.
It works.
Okay, well, I want to talk about, we touched on here and there the Liturgy of the Hours, but I guess any words of advice for someone who is entering in, because I know you did a ton of research. There's a website that I know you probably want to recommend and a couple of resources and maybe how it has, because I love, you know, we got this new recliner for the first time ever. So like all the time, it's funny because at first I was like, so my heart was just so warm to see you in the recliner. And now I'm like resentful of the recliner. Because you're there in the morning when I wake up and I just want to like sit by you. You're in your recliner and at night, but I know that's where your Divine Office reading takes place too. So that's been really awesome to see.
Oh, you know, I'll sit with you. I'll get out and sit with you. I absolutely love prayinglatin.com, daughtersofmarypress.com. I think that's also a good point to point at what a wonderful treat it has been to start going to Latin Mass, because to me that is just feels like home. It's so rich, so beautiful, and so peaceful. So that also accompanies the Fall of Lassance's, the new Roman Missal. You know, I went on this big pursuit of the missals, from the 1962 Roman Missal to the Marian St. Andrew's Missal, St. Paul's Missal, St. Joseph's Missal, right? All these beautiful missals, but the true tested one, Fall of Lassance's new Roman Missal, is just been profound in my faith and helping me, because that I just relate to that. I don't know, is it maybe it's because it's more complicated, and I always like more complicated and challenging things, because if I'm not challenged, I'm not doing anything for myself. I'm not doing anything for my family. In a sense, it's a big challenge. And then with it, I said, well, I got to do the Liturgy of the Hours. So I went on this whole, oh my gosh, how long was it? Like obsession. 3 weeks obsession, yeah. Because that's what I said before. If you want to learn something, guess what you got to do? You have to put in the legwork and you have to figure it out and learn it. Because if you can't pass it on, then what good is it for you to have learned anything? So I decided to take that on. And Jesus prayed the Psalms. That the answer's right there within the Psalms. He prayed the Psalms, the prayers of his ancestry. You know, and he said, pray. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And this is how the church put it together when the monks decided to start bringing this inward, and they put together the breviary, and they called it the Divine Office, and they prayed it. And today they want you to call it Liturgy of the Hours, and they want you to hinge on the morning and the evening prayers. Those are the two that have to be said. That's where it's at. So how much more do you need to be directed than you're taking an action that directly puts you in contact with Jesus? He said these prayers out loud in public, and you in the same turn are doing it with the same aspect. You're doing it in this regard. So you are literally walking directly with Jesus and saying these psalms. And so to me it was like a no-brainer. Why would I not want to do that? So which it's helpful. Because coming from Southern Baptist into the Catholic Church has been a long progression for me to completely get to where I'm at. But I think it's a necessary road. So it's been good. And I'm just excited to see what else is coming with it.
Whew. Well, that's a lot. Thank you. Because somehow we got through that and there wasn't any big crashes upstairs or
only
anyone coming
Carolina.
Through. Yeah, Carolina came down for a little bit. But amazing, beautiful. Thank you. 2021 is tough to really predict because of everything still up in the air, but we are going on pilgrimage. And for the first time, thanks be to God, you will be coming on pilgrimage too, because usually with the juggling, it's hard for both of us to be gone, but that's our prayer and our hope. It's going to be at the end of October. So please, please, if you're feeling called, we would love for you to join the journey as well. Jim, you talked about doing an ultramarathon, a few more races, but with our kids and the needs and the unknowns, we're just going to have to see. And I know you're not really on social media either, but I guess through me, people can follow your journey when I post things.
Yeah,
that
I can follow you.
Because you're very private. And I recognize that there are a lot of guys that are just not on social media. But thank you again for your beautiful insight and honesty.
Sure. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, on that note, that is the bonus episode. I hope and pray that something that was shared resonates with your heart. And if you know someone that could use some motivation and benefit from Jim's real, true story, please share that. Pass it along as well. And Jim talked about going dark, and that's really what the show is doing as I'm on hiatus here between now and Ash Wednesday. So much planning going into this new season and a lot of fantastic guests. Every season, every year, I say I'm so excited about the lineup that we have, and this is no different. We've been working so hard, harder than I can remember, at really bringing you an incredible season of guests and stories. And so that's going to be launching on Ash Wednesday. There's a chance, because I do have some guests that are time sensitive. A lot of times when I pre-record the guests, I'm so excited about the content that it's really hard for me to wait until the actual date that the show is supposed to publish. So I might just leak and give you a few highlights on social media, a few video clips and promos of what you can expect. So please be watching for that. If you have not already signed up to join the newsletter, the Brooke Taylor Show newsletter, please do that. Any of my social media, from Instagram to Facebook, you can click on the link. I have a link tree, and one of them is for the newsletter. Also in these show notes, in the show notes, you can click the link and join the newsletter as well. I'm not as good about sending those out, but especially as the new season is beginning to launch, I'm going to be doing that again. So thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time to listen to today's show. Thank you to my husband. I will also link up the Jocko podcast so you can listen to the interview with Johnny Kim, 4 hours. So that should give you a good chunk of motivation. And as we begin this new year, there's so much to pray for, to pray about. I'm just about to start a Bible in a year study. So when we hop back on together, I will share about how that is going. And obviously on social media, if you want to check in day to day, I always do stories on Instagram. You can find me there. And I would love to hear from you as well. How are you doing? What are you working on? Do you have any plans, or are you just right now day to day holding on, white knuckling it? You can send an email at thebrooketaylorshow@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to reach out. Would love to hear from you. Thank you always, always to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. And so for any needs you may have, audio, visual, you can find him at cominghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, God bless you. Peace and love.